The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network. Now on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, this is a special edition of the Bears Coaches Show featuring General Manager Phil Emery. The Bears Coaches Show is brought to you by McDonald's and sponsored by Bridgestone, Miller Lite, and North Shore University Health System. Now, from Hallis Hall, here's the voice of the Bears, WBBM's Jeff Joniak.
And a pleasant good evening, everybody, and welcome into the Bears Coaches Show. After a 21-13 win over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers yesterday, Bears take advantage of four takeaways, five sacks, and a pair of Matt Forte touchdown runs to beat the Bucs. The record now 5-6, and pleased to be joined for the full hour tonight with Bears General Manager Phil Emery. Good evening, Phil. How you doing?
Doing good. I liked the sound of that first little part there,
right,
coming off a win. That felt really good when you said that, Jeff.
I can tell you now you got two in a row. So, you know, two in a row, both come from behind also, and that can't be taken lightly against the Vikings and the Bucks. What have you learned about the team in these last two games that you can share with us?
Well, Jeff, you know, I'm going to state the obvious first. You know, we went through a three-week period that was extremely disappointing. It was brutal for our fans, for us, for everybody in this building. You know, very tough to deal with. And coming back and then, you know, going into Minnesota and being down by 10, against Tampa, those three losses combined with, you know, being down at the beginning of the games, what I've learned, we really have a mentally tough group. You can't understate that. I think what I feel and what I sense from that is, yeah, there's a lot of things we need to get better at. That's obvious. However, there is a belief in one another in this building. The players do trust one another. There is true leadership among them, not only the individual players, but leadership as a group, and true leadership and teaching skills and ability from our staff to be able to bounce back from where we were at and to be down in the last two games and win the games, to step up and win the games. I really feel good about the mental toughness of our group and that they do have trust in one another, and that there's good leadership among this
group. Well, it sounds like halftime in the locker room. From all the different stories I've read and heard about through conversations, anybody from Martellus Bennett or Kyle Long, Coach Trestman, Mel Tucker, I'd have loved to have been in there. I'm sure you would have, too. What the heck transpired in there?
Well, I think what transpired is what has transpired in the last couple of weeks. There's some real, number one, acknowledgement of mistakes. And being able to handle that constructive criticism, however it's delivered, sometimes it's a little more intense than maybe any of us would like. But sometimes, you know, it needs to come out that way in terms of revealing the sense of urgency to correct those mistakes now. We've been able to get on and work, you know, through those mistakes and continue on to the next play and, you know, bring our energy up. I think that's more than anything in terms of people say, well, didn't you go into the game with energy? Of course we did. But when you're down 10 to nothing at home, not only is a sense of urgency, but you have to bring yourself up to a different level to overcome the hole that you've dug for yourself.
Every win's important. Every loss significant. Do you feel that how you win or lose is important? And if so, what about how you won yesterday? In what way is that important?
Well, you know, it's important that we overcame those deficits, obviously. And again, to go back to question number one, that's how we've learned about our team is, you know, there is a trust in one another. You know, the I guess just the laissez-faire thing would say it's not important how you win or lose. It's important that you win. That's why you play this game. It's extremely important to, you know, obviously to our fans, but to our players, to put themselves in a position where they earn respect for one another, that they earn respect of our fans, and that they continue towards our goals, which are to win football games and put ourselves in a position that they're meaningful, that they have an impact towards the end of the season.
Have you and Mark in your conversations, and you guys talk, I'm assuming, most every day in some form or fashion, and the coaching staff, been able to pinpoint these slow starts? I mean, the last six games, no points in the first quarter, And understandably, it's a bit of a frustrating thing. Mark today even mentioned it at his news conference here at Hallis Hall. It's disturbing. Out of his mouth, he said that. So anything you can come up with.
In terms of, you know, the slow starts, you know, I look back in, okay, what are the games that we started well in? You know, we've lost three out of the four of those.
Yeah.
So, you know, we started fast offensively against Buffalo, but we didn't finish and win the game. We started fast against Carolina. We were up by two scores, but we didn't finish and win the game. And we started fast against Green Bay in the first time around. We were scoring score for score. However, we didn't finish and win the game. So to me, much more important is finding a level of consistency, playing all four quarters at a higher level, and finishing games with wins.
130 passing yards yesterday gets it done for the victory for Jay Cutler. And we went back, and he's had games like that, no question. I even go back, Ben Roethlisberger in his rookie year, they barely threw the ball for 200 yards. You can win games that way. And I think the key stat is that there were no interceptions. So 4-0 with no interceptions this season for the Bears.
Well, you know, you can overcome your mistakes, Jeff, obviously, which we have done the last couple of weeks. The key is to stay in it, to play the next play. I know, you know, people say, you know, say, hey, that's a cliche. It is, because it's true. Usually that's why cliches become that, because over time they've, you know, proven to be correct. You know, Jay's, and as a team, we've overcome errors or turnovers in the past. We did against Minnesota. We had a couple turnovers. So we're certainly capable of overcoming our mistakes. It's about playing with consistency. You know, yesterday we won with defensive consistency. We had real good coverage, especially on our kickoff coverage yesterday. We started out punting extremely well. You know, it was disappointing for Pat and for our team that we didn't finish punting well. However, if he hadn't punted that well earlier, we would have been in some tough spots. He flipped the field a couple times in terms of putting Tampa in a, you know, a long score or a long drive situation instead of them having an advantage in field position. So that was very important. And the third important thing was that we came on it after halftime. We had stops and turnovers created by our defense, but our offense scored. You know, they got the ball. It was a 58-yard drive, and then they scored after a couple of turnovers. So we put it together as a team coming out of the locker room to make it positive.
The crazy thing is, you know, you look at deficits at halftime. I brought this up on the broadcast just going back. It's only the fifth win the Bears have had in the last 4 years trailing at halftime. So it's a bit unusual. So these are not small victories. I know people want to look at teams' records and so forth. They came back and won a game, a hard game to win in the National Football League, no matter who you're playing.
Yeah, and again, it points, I know we've suffered through some hard times, Jeff, but if you're saying it's only happened five times, it's happened three times this year. Yep. So that tells you a little bit about the core character of our team. They do believe that they have the talent and the abilities to get it done.
The Bears Coaches Show featuring General Manager Phil Emery and WBBM's Jeff Joniak continues.
McCown dancing in the pocket, trying to lead. Bass hunting him down.
Oh,
knocked the football out. It's on the ground. Inside the 20, rolling on it. The Bears should have it. Inside the 15-yard line. Coming up with a football, the Bears, Christian Jones. David Bass, the sack strip of McCown, and that ball was loose and there for the taking.
And second-year defensive end David Bass with a closing burst to bring down Josh McCown, forcing the turnover, and that's the play of the week. It's brought to you by McDonald's, proud partner of the Chicago Bears. Welcome back to the Bears Coaches Show here at the Chicago Bears Network Studios. Jeff Joniak and the general manager Phil Emery with you here until 7:30 tonight. So that play was a big one. He didn't want to take a lot of credit for that play. He was very unhappy with his pass rush on that particular play. And reading about it, and also on our post-game show, he said that Josh, on the tape he watched, had two hands on the ball at all times. So when he saw it there, he was going for it. He thought, you know, hey, I got to get that football. And that was a great play. And he's earning snaps. He's been hanging in there all season long in one form or another, sometimes on the practice squad, sometimes not on the roster at all.
Yeah, you know, David's a guy that's really bought into the Chicago Bears and our staff and our players. He spoke about it. You know, that he had other options. We talked at length after we, you know, in the process of releasing him about how bad we wanted him back, and that it was simply a matter of where we were at injury-wise at that point of the year. He bought into us. He stayed. When we found a spot where we could activate him back onto the 53, we took it. And since then, every time he's had an opportunity, he's coming to games and he's made plays. And that's who David has been since he's been with the Bears. You know, a year ago, he played quite a bit, and he had some key plays that helped us win games. So the guy, he's a young guy. He still has a lot in front of him in terms of growing as a player. I wouldn't be surprised someday to see him a little bit more rushing inside, you know, like an Izzy did. He's got a little bit more knack inside as a rusher than he does outside, and he's been making plays on the outside.
Would you throw more bulk on a guy like that, or is he at a place that you like him to be at to make that transition?
I think it's important, you know, obviously with the background that I've had in strength and conditioning, you got to let that happen over a course of time. You just don't throw weight on players and expect them to play at a new level just because they have added bulk. That has to come through training and through maturation, which it will for David. He's still a young person. He's still got some growth in him, and that's going to help him whether he ends up, you know, continue to stay outside or if he plays a little bit inside.
No, even from your experience and just talking to guys, even 5, 10, 15 pounds is a difference for them to carry around and see if they still have the same explosiveness and speed with that. Isn't that right?
It doesn't take much. Sometimes it feels pretty good until you put the pads on, and then you've got a big adjustment to go. And then normally the normal course of that is then you'll see players back off a little bit on their weight. But it isn't always interesting to see what people can do with their bodies in terms of improvement. And I know that David still has a lot of upside.
All right. Counted up about 13 hits on Josh McCown yesterday. I made special, kept my eyes on him as much as I could yesterday at the very end because guys were coming in there, and even after he got rid of the football and at times put a nice tight spiral on it even after taking the hit, as I saw in the Washington game when he played the Redskins the week before. But I don't know what you guys came up with on hits on the quarterback, but it looks like at least double digits and 13. What'd you think of the pass rush?
Well, you know, Jeff, you're accurate. You know, I do my own because I like to double-check what the official stats come out and our coaches. We all cross-check each other to make sure that the players get the appropriate credit for what they have done in terms of production. You know, what I had is the obvious 5 sacks, but also had an additional 13 hits on the quarterbacks beyond those 5 sacks, and we had 3 other hurries. So a lot of activity on the quarterback. That's a real credit to the coaches in terms of the plan going in. It's a real credit to those players up front, and it's a real credit to the coverage behind them, because that type of pressure doesn't happen unless the quarterback is forced to get off his first read and to work through a progression. That progression takes time, and when that quarterback's holding onto the ball, that's when pressure hits home.
Well, Stephen Paya hit home, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. He had a couple of sacks. He had about 3 hits on the core, 2 hits on the quarterbacks, 3 other hurries, so very active. But I'll tell you, you know, I had Jared Allen for 7 hits on the quarterback from my scorecard. So, you know, out of those 13, he had 7. So very active, even though he didn't come up with a sack, very active hits on Josh. And those guys got after Josh pretty well.
You know, adding a 5th rusher, that was something that they did. You know, Mel Tucker did yesterday. Oftentimes it was Shea McClellan. Sometimes it was a blitzer and Demontre Hurst. Sometimes it was bringing 6. It was very a lot of stunts, a lot of games up front, and it certainly made a difference.
Yeah, John Bostic got involved in that. His was more on the outside. Christian Jones and Shea kind of flipped that duty as far as being the outside guy. But it's not only just the number of rushers. It was the number of different looks in terms of the rush games we were running. You know, several different type of loop games with an added linebacker and some things that we have done, but not to that degree, and our coaches showed a real trust in our players, and the execution of those stunts was the best it's been all year.
Well, and I would assume, much like if you had thrown a bunch of guys on the basketball court, like to run the floor and play a fast-paced full-court press game where there's lots of turnovers, guys like that. That's interesting to them. That keeps the energy up, I would think. Right?
I'm smiling, Jeff. I hope it's always interesting to them.
No, but I'm saying
it's a very tough game, but I love the point.
I think they probably enjoy that.
Fast break defense.
Exactly.
I like that. And that's exactly what they did on Sunday. They played fast, they played physical, and they played smart. And I've heard that from Mel. You know, obviously we went through that 3-game stretch that was very difficult to deal with, and sat down and evaluated it from all angles. And really, it's for our defense to improve is we have to play faster, we have to be consistently more physical, and we have to be smart about what we're doing. So in reality, some of the things we've cut back, but in terms of what we're doing, we've executed at a higher level.
Now, more of the Bears Coaches Show with Phil Emery on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, WBBM.
Snap is back to McCown. Sets up in the pocket. Breaking the ball up the middle, and down he goes. Steven Paya gets him again. Paya's second sack of McCown. Came free and then just blew into him, and down he went.
And the fourth-year Oregon State product, Stephen Paya, the player of the game, brought to you by Xfinity, your home for the most live sports. Here with Phil Emery until 7:30 tonight. Paya, second of his two sacks in yesterday's win over the Bucks. And Phil, he spoke about the season, even in the OTAs, how important it was. And really, he was focused on one big aspect, and that was health. Be durable. Can you play a whole season? And hopefully that'll be the case for Stephen because he has worked very hard.
Yeah, it's, you know, that's the normal progression in terms of if you're available every week, your production's going to go up. And no one has ever questioned Stephen's talent. You know, he's one of the more interesting guys that I've ever done in terms of college players. I mean, he had a very limited background. Here he is at Oregon State. And from the get-go, even with that limited background, he dominated the level of competition. The year before he came out, I believe he led the Pac-10 or Pac-12, whatever you want to call it nowadays,
yeah,
in sacks.
He's defensive player of the year in the Pac-12.
Defensive player of the year. So all over the field, but very raw at that time in terms of instincts for football, in terms of the things that you have to do as a defensive lineman to be successful at a high level in the NFL in terms of feeling pressure, knowing how to counter blocks, knowing how to sit down on double teams, knowing how to feel pressure of a down block and either work under or through depending on your defensive alignment and responsibility. But he's come so far in that area, and really he's overcome his rawness. He's got really good NFL skills. He just needed to be there every week, and he's done it. So he's having a good season.
Well, he likes using his hand. You know, the move to using your hands more. He likes that. You know, he's transferring that power.
Yeah, Jeff, would you blame him?
No.
He got more reps in the bench press than anybody in NFL history. So definitely, there's a lot of power there, and he's playing to his strengths. The thing that he's learning, he's getting better every week is playing with leverage. Because no matter how you see it, you know, he's a shorter guy.
He's 6'1", right?
He's 6'1", so he needs to use that to his advantage. At times in the past, he's got his pads up a little bit. Then that's when the offense has the advantage because you aren't that. You're not a 340-pound nose tackle. You know, you're a 300-pound guy, 301-pound guy. So you need to use what your gifts are, your explosive power, and that leverage you can have when you keep your pads low, you're a small target to hit. And you can work up and under people, and he's done that more on a consistent basis this year.
And among the starters, he's the youngest guy on that unit. So the other guys you brought in here, Jared Allen, Jeremiah Ratliff, and Willie Young, kind of shepherding these younger guys a little bit by the way they're playing, and that seems to be a very interesting, dynamic, eclectic room that Paul Pasqualoni, and we talked to him last week about that very topic.
Yeah, I listened to Paul, and you know, what a great shepherd, you know, in terms of the experience and the production that Paul has had as a coach throughout his career. You know, unbelievable work ethic himself, and it carries over to the group. Very interesting and varied group in terms of personalities, but they really have come together. They really are working in the best interest of one, which is the team. You know, seeing Jared Allen work with the younger players and working with the older players in terms of getting the rush in concert, working together, everything falling in sync in terms of those games. They just keep getting better at that, and they keep working with one another to get to the end goal, which is to win as a team.
The Bears Coaches Show, a special edition featuring General Manager Phil Emery, is brought to you by McDonald's and sponsored by University of Phoenix, Verizon, Walgreens, and Xfinity. Once again, live from Hallis Hall, the voice of the Bears, WBBM's Jeff Joniak.
Cutler takes turns, gives the bat. Forte bouncing left. Forte, a crack at the 10. 5, goal line, end zone, touchdown! Touchdown, Bears!
Matt Forte, two touchdowns, and welcome back to the Bears Coaches Show from the Chicago Bears Network Studios here at Hallis Hall. Quick turnaround for the Bears after the win over Tampa. They'll be in Detroit on Thanksgiving Day to take on the Lions. Here with Phil Emery until 7:30 tonight. Forte did get his carries up in that second half. He got to 23 with 89 yards and two touchdowns. Yards per carry went up in the second half, 4.2. And now nine rushing touchdowns behind Rick Caceres for third all-time because yesterday he passed Gale Sayers for career rushing touchdowns. Granted, Gale's career shortened by injuries, but what an accomplishment whenever you're in the same sentence as a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, hats off to Matt, and a great accomplishment. And, you know, not only did his carries and yards per attempt go up, Jeff, but our energy level went up. You could see the surge of that offensive line. You know, after that first successful touchdown run, really started rolling off the ball and really started fitting up on people. And Matt brings that through his production.
And with some leads by Dante Rosario, I might add.
Yeah, Dante's one of the many players who brought a different energy level. Like I said, when you're down by 10, that energy level to overcome the deficit has to be different. And Dante brought a different energy level in the second half in terms of those lead blocks and the physicalness that he led with them.
And Forte has a chance this weekend as well, or on Thursday, to break even more records. So, you know, we could spend a lot of time on it. But three catches away from breaking his own single-season Bears record set last season and 10 yards away from breaking Walter Payton's 83 single-season record for reception yardage at 607. It'd be great. It'd be cool. It'd say a lot about where the offense could go in the final five games of the year with Matt Forte getting 1,000 yards and 1,000 receiving yards. Difficult, but, you know, it's not out of the realm of possibility.
No, it's not at all. And, you know, if it helps us win games, I know Matt's all in. You know, he's very productive. There's so many positives about Matt. And it starts with him being a great teammate in person. But, you know, available, incredibly durable, smart, productive, you know, runs well, catches well, blocks well. I just want to find out one day if Matt can throw. I don't know if I have to ask him or if we need to put that in there just for that purpose. Because
I'm sure he could. Walter Payton could.
Yes.
Walter Payton could. He could wing it a little bit. At 28, does he buck any thinking about running backs who approach the age of 30 and beyond because of what he does and how he gets himself? Each year he kind of reinvents himself physically and puts on a little more armor.
Yeah, he has, and an extremely hard worker. Jeff, you know, over time, just being around football and being around athletics, one thing I've really learned is never underestimate the human spirit and what people are capable of doing if they set their mind to it. You know, you see it with extremely high-level athletes. Adrian Peterson recovering from ACL surgery. Matt Forte just keeps coming. You know, he's very durable. Keeps pushing his game, keeps setting a higher standard for himself. Saw at the Naval Academy, you know, most often we were way undermanned in terms of the talent pool of players and the teams that we played against, but we found a way to have success because of belief in self and belief in the common goal. You can push yourself to a new level. So long answer, but the same outcome. Matt wants it. Matt will achieve it, and he's certainly more than capable of bucking that trend.
The Bears Coaches Show with Phil Emery and WBBM's Jeff Joniak continues.
McCown in the gun, takes the snap, back to throw, hit as he delivers over the middle, pass is tipped to himself, and intercepted by Conte. Great athletic interception, takes it away on third down. They married rush and coverage on that one. The hit on McCown, Conte on the interception at the Bear 23-yard line.
And third interception out of the year for Chris Conte, matching Ryan Mundy and Kyle Fuller for the team lead. As we welcome you back to the Bears Coaches Show here at Hallis Hall in the Chicago Bears Network Studios, here until 7:30 with the general manager. So Chris Conte has handled, how has he handled his ups and downs over the last 2 years from your perspective and getting through injuries and performance and playing on the back end of this defense?
Well, I think that answer is it was in his performance yesterday. I mean, obviously he's gone through some very tough times as a player in terms of dealing with the bumps of the game, with the injuries of the game that have, you know, that he's had to suffer through, and some of the plays that have or have not been made. obviously brought controversy. There were some struggles, but where's he at today? He had a good game yesterday. Unbelievable pick. Great athletic play. More importantly, throughout the course of the game, what I saw out of Chris was his angles to the ball, both run and pass, are improving.
Yeah, it was something we brought up. It was a downhill run. I can't remember what quarter it was, but he made a very strong play against the run.
Right, and he made the tackle.
Yeah.
He got the ball carrier on the ground, did that against the pass. You know, balls sometimes are delivered, but his angles to the football, the flight of the football, where the receiver was and the ball in the air, much improved over time, and that's come during this year. Unfortunately for him, he hasn't always been available. So some of those progressions that happen to players in the NFL, they change. They don't happen as fast because why? Because you're not on the field to get those reps. But as he's gotten reps, he's continued to improve as a player.
Are we seeing that as well with some of the young guys that are flashing and making plays, from the Demontre Hurst to the Cornelius Washingtons, who's got tremendous ability? You'll see him in the room and you're like, wow, you know, this guy, he looks the part. Christian Jones, who's getting a lot of snaps. Is that some of this Al Lewis gene?
Yeah, definitely they're making improvements, but I'll say with young players, and really where we're at as a team, it's one play at a time, one game at a time. We're not going to get too far out in front of ourselves. I was pleased with the progress of several young players yesterday. You know, Cornelius is an example of a guy that has bought into the staff and has stayed focused and is willing to be coached. You know, a lot of raw, like you're saying, Jeff, a lot of raw skills, height, weight, speed. His college production, as he said in the paper today, 10.5 sacks, where a guy of that physical ability should have more than that during a college career, but he didn't. So he came into the league, kind of a, you know, someone to mold, and he's bought in, and he's improving as a player. He had several good plays against Green Bay that obviously when you lose that game the way we lost it, those get washed out. People don't notice that, but they're very noticeable on tape. He took a veteran right tackle and pushed him into the backfield a yard deep on several occasions because of those raw gifts that he has, and he made plays. He made tackles at the point of attack, and he did that yesterday. You know, tackles for loss, had a sack, had other good rushes. But, again, for Cornelius, for Christian, for Demontre Hurst, all the guys that we've talked about, it's one play at a time, one game at a time.
And that's where the consistency will eventually kick in. Hurst is intriguing to me. He's bursting with confidence, which you expect from a lot of corners. He's playing inside nickel, a very difficult position, but the last 2 weeks I think he's got 13 tackles, and yesterday he was making plays on special teams. I think we only have 2 down punts this year, and that's he had the second one yesterday. Last year we were in among the leaders in down punts, so that's growing as well, and that marries with the leg and the hang time of Patrick O'Donnell. But he's a guy with confidence. I don't think anything is too big for Demontre Hurst.
Well, you know, the number one skill that Demontre has is he has great football instincts, and he plays to his strengths, and another guy that has been willing to be coached and continue to improve as a player. You know, that play, that down punt, was as pretty as you're going to see in the NFL. Now he needs to be consistent. He had a good overall game tackling, missed one that he'd like to have back late in the game, but he made several. He was making plays. The play against Josh, when we had them backed up, that was a big play. That was a big play by a player that's unheralded.
Yeah, no, that's right.
How was that?
I mean, he's unheralded, yeah, undrafted.
I didn't know if I got that one out right, but a big time play. Again, he's got to continue to search for consistency. Put those good games back to back, and then we really have a quality player.
Right, we got to hit a break here soon, but Jared Allen, I can't. You say he hit the quarterback 7 times, but he's been talking about his run defense all year. And you look on the stat sheet, and the quarterback sneak, he gets credit with the tackle. You know, on the quarterback sneak. So, you know, he's done a nice job against the run.
Yeah, he's done a really good job. And again, someone has bought into the system. He's been a great player at the point of attack in terms of hitting that gap and a half, hitting right with his hands, establishing leverage, pushing the blocker back, turning plays in, and making several tackles on his own. I think he's fifth or sixth in terms of total tackles at his position in the NFL, you know, for defensive ends. But the player, we knew we were getting a player that could hit and have production and sack production on the quarterback. To me, he's a better run player now than he was in the last 2 years previous.
The Bears Coaches Show with head coach Mark Trestman continues exclusively on the home of the Bears, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, WBBM.
And welcome back to the Bears Coaches Show. And a reminder to watch Bears Game Day Live, brought to you by Advocate Healthcare, Sundays at 10:30 a.m. on Fox 32 Chicago, part of the Chicago Bears network of shows, here at 7:23. Pleased to be joined by General Manager Phil Emery tonight, and we've covered a lot of ground about this team. Let's dip into a couple of other areas. Mark Mariani, the acquisition is intriguing, not in that the guy, he's talented, had been to a Pro Bowl in Tennessee, but hadn't played in a game in the regular season since 2011. So the confidence that you guys had to have in him, and him and himself, admittedly, he says he had butterflies over the course of the week, dropped into a locker room, and bam, you're playing on Sunday.
Yeah, well, I got to tell you, Jeff, I didn't see any of those butterflies during the game. You know, really tough, confident player with a lot of high positive energy. Really a joy to be around. Everybody, you know, I was out scouting when he came in to sign his contract, and I started getting back from Cliff Stein and Robin Wilkie, our executive assistant, about what kind of guy this guy was and how appealing he was and a joy to be around in terms of his energy and his and how positive he was. And obviously he's played one game for us, and I don't want to go over the top, but those are the type of guys that can make a difference in your Sunday in terms of toughness, good football skills, willingness, you know, to take it up inside hard on a kickoff return, which he did for 30 yards, which was his first return that he got to actually return that wasn't a touchback. So really, really happy with the Sunday he had, and let's see where it goes from there and how he competes throughout, but a very good positive start.
We circle back to the offense, which we discussed at length in the first segment. Jay Cutler yesterday, thoughts?
Well, you know, Jay was like our team. We had a very tough first half overall. You know, Jay did some positive things. There were players on the offense that did positive things the first half, but we didn't do it as a group. And the overall performance was far below what anybody would say is acceptable. So we had a lot to bounce back from, and that included Jay because he's part of that group. They all had to own up to their mistakes, which we talked about at halftime. That's being, you know, as they say, being real with one another, being honest and willingness to take criticism and do something with it. And they came out in the second half, and they got a 58-yard drive going. It was very positive. There were good throws. There were good runs. Well, you know, we had them off balance a little bit. Our offensive line picked it up in terms of their surge. And then our defense comes back and forces turnovers. And within a span of 20 seconds, we had two scoring opportunities. I think at, you know, 4:58, we had an opportunity. And then at 4:37 or 38, we had another opportunity. And we capitalized on it. And we finished, you know, the only time we were really backed up in the game, Jeff, was towards the end. I think we started to drive inside of our 12-yard line, and we had to have at least the first down to burn some time off the clock, and we got it. You know, would we have liked to have finished the game in 2 minutes with either kneeling it or running a play to run out of clock? Yes, we would have. But overall, the second half, starting with that third quarter run, was positive. So we bounced back, and Jay bounced back along with the rest of the offense.
Over the course of this season, you know, obviously the offensive issues and the concerns about the lack of consistency and just exploding like they did a year ago certainly has been a disappointment. How have you handled that disappointment from your perch?
Well, the only way to handle that disappointment is to continue to work hard with one another, to be honest with one another, to be willing to criticize each other, and to find the common thread or good that we can move forward on. You know, part of it, Jeff, is you have a wide variety of people and experiences that come to the table, and we've all been through similar situations. If you've been involved in sports, you've been through tough times. And if you've lived long enough, you've lived through some tough times. And certainly, I hate to say this, but I've lived through harder ones. That time in Atlanta when we lost Michael Vick and then we lost our head coach during the season, that was extreme. That was very, it was almost surreal. It was an unbelievable situation that was tough to deal with. So when you get into times like this where you have repetitive bad performances, which we had three in a row, you kind of got to lean on, how do I get through that? Well, you get through it by working with one another to find positive solutions, and that's what we've done. And now we got to get back at it. You know, we got a game against Detroit that we got to focus in on and find a way to have a positive result.
All right, you're a Michigan kid, so Thanksgiving tradition, obviously a Lions game on the holiday, dating back to your childhood, no question. And you get is this your first time in a Thanksgiving Day game in a role in the NFL, in a front office or scout?
Yeah, it is, but I'll tell you a little story. So, I've been married, been married 32 years, and the first real big date that I took my wife on after getting married was a Thanksgiving Day game, Detroit versus Green Bay, and the Lions won, which was good because I'm from Detroit, and we beat Green Bay, which is always good.
That's a good story. You'll never forget that one. So these Lions, and we only have a little more than a minute, but you mentioned a couple of names, Stafford, Calvin Johnson, and Ndamukong Suh, and you start from there.
Well, there's much more to them than those guys, but those guys obviously are the key players. They are very pivotal, big playmaking players, but they have a load over there. That number one defense has got a lot of high-quality players, and their offense has obviously been, overall, their receiving core has been upgraded
with Golden Tate.
Joyke Bell just continues, a Wayne Stater.
Wayne
Stater I want to beat, but he continues to impress in terms of filling a role for them and being a positive, productive NFL player.
All right, injuries, there's a long list. If the Bears and Lions were to practice today, both teams would be out. Anything serious that could be season-ending type things, or are we still evaluating that?
Jeff? No favors here. We're still evaluating.
And that includes Lance Briggs, Kyle Fuller, and Jeremiah Ralla. Phil, enjoyed it. Thanks for spending an hour with us here on the Bears Coaches Show.
Thanks for allowing me to come on, Jeff.
Thanks for Bears General Manager Bill Emery, Greg Miller, our Director of Broadcasting and Producer Andy Grischer, Keith Johnson, our studio producer as well. You can listen to the next Bears All Access Radio Show brought to you by Sports Authority Wednesday at 6 on WSCR, 670 AM, part of the Chicago Bears Network of Shows. 8:30 pregame from Ford Field. Join everybody, and 11:37 officially the kickoff on Thanksgiving Day, Bears and Lions. And this is News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, WBBM. Good night, everybody.